My Dad Loved to Help God's People, we invite you to receive our monthly newsletter called A New Song. Request your copy on our website, call us, or write to us. In today's message, Guidelines for Godliness, Pastor Salem shares 5 principles that will help us face situations in our lives.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And today we're going to have a sermon on guidelines for godliness. Or in other words, how to be a better Christian. We all want to, those of us who know the Lord, always want to be a better person. So that's what our sermon's going to be about. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. And so many of you write letters to us, and we look at every letter. We read every one. And we have many of you ask for prayers, and we pray for you and remember you in our prayers. And then we share the letters. And I get letters that say that they like the letters just as much as the sermon. And I thought, oh, boy, I got to get over that. But I don't know what to do, so we're going to have both, some letters and the sermon. And I think that people like the letters because they know right where people are. And a lot of these people having troubles and trials and needs, a lot of people are having the same thing. And so it's nice to hear from others. So our first letter today is from Nova Scotia, Canada. And this person writes, I watched your TV broadcast here in rural Nova Scotia for the first time Saturday, and I was so blessed and encouraged by your straight and true presentation of the gospel, especially in the sad, evil society the world has become today. If you could send me the little Bible study on 7 reasons that I know I'm going to heaven, which I thought I might be able to share with the seniors and friends where I am moving. I want to live for and serve him for whatever time I have left here on earth. God bless you and your ministry, Love in Christ. And so we have a little paper, a little Bible study, and it's 7 reasons why I know I'm going to the heaven. And all of the reasons are scriptures. They're not just the ideas or we hope or we think. It's what God says. And so if you'd like to have this copy, it's free and postpaid. And at the close of the service, we're going to give our address. And you write to us and just say 7 reasons, and we'll be more than happy to send it to you. And I'm sure it'll be a blessing. It's been a blessing to many, many hundreds of thousands of people. Here's Mitchellville, Iowa. And listen to what this person says. I said the sinner's prayer. I'm having a lot of health problems. I said the sinner's prayer. You know what the sinner's prayer is? The sinner's prayer is when you pray from your heart and say, Dear Jesus, in your own words, Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and come into my heart and cleanse me of all of my sins. And I thank you and I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you in Jesus' name. That's a sinner's prayer. And you just don't have to use certain words. You just talk to Jesus. Tell him you're a sinner. Ask him to come into your heart. That's a sinner's prayer. And if you pray that, you're born again. And that's what Jesus tells us in John 5:24. Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but is passed from death unto life, eternal life, and that's heaven. So you just say that sinner's prayer. Here's Mitchellville, Iowa. Pray this prayer. Here's Harrisburg, South Dakota. Hi, Christian Worship Hour, Pastor and crew. Thank you so much for being my church. I often question my faith, not that I doubt believing, but the question is, why should God want me? Why would God want me? And I remember reading a story of a man who went to his pastor, and he says, why did God pick Judas? He was a son of perdition. He was a son of hell. Why did God choose him? I had 11 others were solid gold, sterling silver, and here's Judas. And he asked his pastor, why did God choose Judas? And the pastor said, I can ask one that's tougher than that. Why did God choose me? And that's just what this man from Harrisburg is saying. He says, I just wondered, why would God choose me? Why would God call me? And God calls the whole world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Peter. And that simply means if you come to Jesus, he wants you to come to him. He's standing at your heart's door knocking to enter into your life, but you have to open the door, and that's for the whole world. It says, whosoever will may come. That means everybody. No people ruled out because of election or something like that. That never came from God. Came somewhere else. So you ask the Lord to save you. That's what this man did. Now, he doesn't know why God would pick him. I don't know why God would pick me, but he did. That's all that counts. Here's one more. Roundup, Montana. Listen to this letter. I am in Roundup, Montana. I'm in Roundup, Montana, in jail. I am a backslidden Christian. I've accepted Jesus into my heart and have repented of my sinful ways. I am once again right with God. I watched your show this morning and was very blessed. My mom has watched you for years. She's in Hamilton, Montana. And listen to what he says now. She is in Hamilton, Montana. This morning, as I watched, I not only felt a closeness to God, but with my mother. Isn't that beautiful? You see, that's the Holy Spirit. And when he's close to God in the service, but he has a closeness with his mother because they both know Jesus. They say blood is thicker than water. Well, the Spirit is thicker than blood. Here's a blood relationship, but it's also tied with the Spirit. And as he worshiped that service, he knew his mother would be worshiping the Christian worship hour the same time he was, and he felt a closeness to her. Now, when you send gifts to help us and when you pray, you have a part in that because we can't do it by ourselves. We don't have the money and we don't have the means at all because we're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or church or denomination. It's God's people. We're dependent on you, God's people. And you need to pray and say, is this something God wants? And then if he says, yes, I want you to do that, you say, how much? And you send what he will. And we'll give you the address in just a few minutes at the close of the service. So get your pencil and paper ready. But this is what's happening. People are being saved. People are being blessed. And here's a young man come back to Jesus and his dear Christian mother, and he felt close to her in the service of the Christian worship hour. It's just beautiful, isn't it? But now let's look at this, the guidelines for godliness, because we're all interested in that. That is, if we're followers of Jesus Christ. And if we're followers of Jesus Christ, we're expected to live for him. And Jesus never did say, he told us openly, all of his disciples all the time, he never said it would be easy. It isn't a Sunday school parade. It isn't a dress parade. It's a battle. It's a struggle. It's a fight against war and against Satan. And so God was calling us to follow him and serve him. And so he tells us on how we can make decisions on things because the Bible was written 2,000 years ago. And yet it's more modern than the today's newspaper. If I want to read about what happened yesterday, I look at the newspaper. If I want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, I look at the Bible. And so that living Bible, it speaks to every situation. They didn't have television in the first century. They didn't have radio. They didn't have any of these things. They didn't have a lot of these temptations that we have today. A lot of situations. So God gives principles. A principle to guide us for whatever the generation is, the Bible will have the answer. It will show you the way. So let's look at some things. First of all, remember, our body is the temple of God. And I'm talking, of course, to Christians, those born again, as I said before. And so some people say, well, I think God is in all of us. I think there's a spark of divinity in all of us. There's a little bit of God in every person. Even Hitler, they would say he had a little spark in him. Well, the spark had long gone out in his life. Now, that statement is totally false because it is impossible because in Ephesians we're told we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, that's what God says in Ephesians chapter 2. And if you're dead, you don't have any life. You don't even have a spark. Here's a man in the hospital. The doctor will take his pulse. If there is no pulse, he says he's dead. If he has the slightest pulse, he says he's alive, see? And so that there is no life in any of us until we come to Jesus Christ. And when we come to Him, dead as we can be, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will give us eternal life. And He gives us that new life, and He makes us a new creation. And the Holy Spirit enters our body, and the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. He is God, God by the Spirit. And He comes and enters our life when we accept Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is the one who takes a dirty, poor, lost sinner down destined for hell. And when that person calls on the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit takes him, and he says he's baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, the sinless body of Christ. He takes us so our names are put for damnation, but our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's all given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Write it down. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body." And that one body is the body of Christ. It says, "Whether we are Jews or Greeks, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're slave or we're free, we're all given the one Spirit to drink, the Holy Spirit." And so our bodies becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's just as plain as that. And I have people that are praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, brother, sister, when you accept that Jesus, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, you're praying for something that's already taken place. And what you need to pray is that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when it means filled with the Holy Spirit, it means dominated by the Holy Spirit, totally given to the guidance of God's Word and God's Spirit. Just that simple. And so Paul writes, and he writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. He said, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" He says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." And so the Holy Spirit comes into our heart when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, I remember when I was young, about 100 years ago, 96 years ago to be exact. Boy, that's close to 100, close enough to count. And so my mother, she always taught us. She had four boys and one girl, and we had hired men. And to them, the thing that made you a man, if you were a man, you would smoke. If you didn't smoke, you weren't a man. And pretty soon the women picked up that, and they figured if you're a woman, you smoke. We had women smoking all over the place. Holy cow, you can't believe it. And in the movies, they were filled with it. That's the way the movies helped to promote this thing of using tobacco that'll destroy your body. And that body is the Holy Spirit, and you shouldn't destroy that. Or as she told us, never to take alcohol, never to take the beer, never to take the tobacco, never to gamble, never to play cards for pennies or nickels or dimes or matchsticks. Because these things this body is separated for God. It's all for Him, and the Holy Spirit dwells within. And don't you desecrate the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that's always to keep in mind the first principle, where body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. And the second thing is, says, watch out for that which will enslave you. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. I'll not be brought under the power of any. And that could be translated like this. I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no. But some of these things aren't good for me. Even if I'm allowed to do them, I'll refuse to if I think that they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop when I want to. Evil habits can enslave a person. And that person is not free. He's bound by these sins and these things that enslave him. And so there comes back my mother. She says you shouldn't gamble because it can take you. It can absorb you. You can become addicted to gambling. And I've been in the ministry. I'm on my 74th year now. I can't tell you how many people I've seen that have lost their homes and their children's education money and all of the rest of it because they gambled. And they got into it with just an innocent little thing, but it took a hold of them like a serpent. And I remember how that they had these old slot machines. And they'd put that money in there, and then they'd get a nickel back, and then they'd spend another $100 to get another nickel. Oh, God, have mercy on their poor soul. And how dumb that is to spend your money that way, but they've become addicted to it. And now we have the lottery and all of the rest of it. You shouldn't touch a lottery ticket because it can only lead to something worse. And I remember a kind of a humorous story about a sheriff in one of the western states, and he loaded up all of the slot machines, and he took them out to the dump, and he dumped them out in the garbage out there. And he says, I have a law that says that I can do that. And they said, what law says that you can dump those slot machines out there in the city dump? And he says, it's easy. There's a law that says it is unlawful to use steel traps to catch dumb animals. Well, I don't know if you're dumb. They're pretty smart men that I know that caught up in gambling. And that's the principle that he's teaching. Don't get into these things that are addictive and that can take you away and drag you down. And it might not be something bad. It might be something good, because sometimes the good is the enemy of the best. And so here's some things that are good. Maybe gardening is good, but you can be a slave to it. Or you can do fishing or hunting. Oh, my goodness, they go out in a blizzard trying to shoot a goose or something like that. And there wouldn't, a goose wouldn't go out in weather like that anywhere. And these hunters are out there skipping church looking for a goose. And then some of them are playing golf. And they hit the golf, and I read about one golfer, and he hit one, they hit the ball, and it landed on an ant hill, and there are ants all over the place. So he was happy. You have to hit it. You can't pick it up, and he wouldn't dare anyway because there's ants all over it. And so he swung, and he missed the ball, and he killed 30,000 ants. And so then he was in a hurry, so he swung again, and he missed the ball, and it killed another 30,000 ants. And pretty soon they heard one ant say to the other, you know, if we're going to survive, we better get on the ball. That's golfing. And there's nothing wrong with golfing, but when it becomes your God and it's the thing you live, then you remember this. Let nothing enslave you as a Christian. Watch out for that. And then it says, abstain from anything that appears evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. How does it look? How does it look to me? But then how does it look to God? And if we look at these things, and if it appears evil, if evil can come out of it, well, then we are not to partake of it or have any part of it. Maybe it's legal for us, but it isn't right for the next person, and so we have to be careful. Augustine, Saint Augustine, put it this way, love God and do what you like. So like the good things, like the things of God that are good and blessing. And then live for your neighbor's welfare. Paul says, we then that are strong, this is in Romans 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You could write it in English today and you'd say, even if we believe that it makes no difference to the Lord whether we do these things, still we cannot just go ahead and do them to please ourselves. We must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others. Those are fears that feel these things are wrong. Let's please the other fellow and not ourselves and do what is for his good and thus build him up in the Lord. And so he says in 1 Corinthians verse 8, verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And when he's talking about that, he's talking about the eating of meat. Because in Paul's day, they had a problem with eating of meat. And it's if they offered meat to the idols, the way it was, the priests of those temples, they would bring offerings to the temple, offerings of meat many times, the best meat they had, and they would offer it to their god. And then pretty soon these priests, they had more meat than they knew what to do with, so they started a meat market. And they would say, the T-bone steak downtown cost $25, they'd sell it for $2 a pound. And so the Christians would say, the Christian says, well, there's nothing wrong with buying that meat. An idol is just an old idol. It's just something they built, or it maybe could be a fence post, or it could be any little old thing. An idol has no power. An idol is nothing. So, well, just buy that cheap meat. So that's what they did. But here comes a new Christian, and they just come out of idolatry. They've been worshiping idols all the time, and now they all of a sudden they find out that these people are buying meat offered to these idols that they used to worship. And to the new Christian, they were saying, this can't be right. This is totally wrong because they're taking meat and they're taking stuff offered to these idols, and we have to leave it alone and we dare not touch it. And so what happens? The Christian that is a good, strong Christian, he'll say, now there isn't anything wrong with that meat offered to idols. And it's the best meat because they brought the best to their idol worship gods. And so we'll just buy this stuff. We'll save a lot of money. We'll give it to the church. But the weak Christian stumbles at it. And so what you have to do is leave that high price, that low priced meat alone, to have nothing to do with it, and live just for that person. We are our brother's keeper. We are our brother's keeper. It's just like for me, for instance, if I go downtown and I go to the bar, and my little Sunday school boys come and they see their pastor sitting in the bar, and they'll say, we'll sit in the bar too, only they won't sit. They'll drink, they'll go down. And I'll hurt their faith, those little boys, those little fellows. And I'd rather die than be a stumbling block for a child. And I can maybe get away with it and never bother me, but the next can't make it. So here's there's a story about how the city was digging a deep trench, 10 feet deep. And some of the boys came out of high school, seniors and juniors, upperclassmen, and they ran right along the edge, and the edge would break in and drop in, but they were fast and they could keep ahead of it. And then the little boys saw that and they tried it, but they weren't fast enough and they weren't strong enough and their legs weren't long enough. And they fell in the trench and were buried and died. We are our brother's keeper, whether you like it or not. And so when we live that Christian life, we'll have to abstain from all appearance of evil and say, oh, I've got to live for the Lord and I've got to live for others. And the last thing I put down, live always for God's glory. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Well, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And he is saying that I'm going to live for the Lord. And whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to honor God and bring glory to his name. And that's the secret of it all. We must love the Lord Jesus Christ. We must love him so much. We must love God so much that we're willing to say no to ourselves for the sake of others. And everything we do and everything we think, is this honoring to God, is this glorifying in God's name. Some of those movies you've been watching and some of those books you've been reading and some of those pictures that you have, if you're a Christian, you ought to get rid of them as fast as you can. But the big thing we're asking, are you a Christian? Are you born again? Are you born from above? Jesus said you must be born again. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you asked him into your heart? And you say, I don't know how. Let me tell you how. You say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And the Lord knows it, God knows it, but he wants us to admit it. I've sinned against you. And I ask you to please come into my heart because he says, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hears my voice, I'll come in. And I just say, come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll follow you. I'll forsake my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you said that prayer, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you can help us with a gift, we need to have your help, because we have only one source of income. That's God's people. So you pray about it and you help us if you possibly can. And then you write to us if you accepted the Lord, or if you have a problem, a spiritual problem. We read every letter we get. And then when we are all done with our work on earth and we sacrifice for Jesus and we live the best way we could, we can stand before the great God Almighty and said, I did the best I can, and he'll know whether we did. That's our goal. So let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to pray today that you'll help all of these people that are accepting you as their Savior, that you'll just help give them a peace and a joy in knowing their sins are washed away. We pray for the young people, dear Lord, that you'll just help them and to give them strength and help them to be true to you and to live a life in a hard, hard world. And to those on beds of sickness and those that are shut-ins, we pray for them. And we pray for the persecuted church in Bangladesh today, that, Lord, you'll watch over them and help them. And that someday the battle will be over and we'll see you face to face and we'll look upon you and you can have us, you can tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for this privilege of serving you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we wish you the best, and be sure to write to us now. We got that on the screen there. We also have a little booklet, the new songs, a little Bible study, and we can send that. So you write. And if you send us a gift, you know we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Everything is on above board. So we're just trusting that you'll write to us. Christian Worship Hour, box on all of you on the internet. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. God bless you. Just remember that God loves you. And always remember this too, the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And that's why we've been going now for almost 38 years, trusting God to pay the way. And oh, how many people have come to Jesus. And so that's our joy, to be with you in heaven someday. It'll come to pass. Just trust Jesus, and I'll see you there.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.